eyes fixed on Jesus in your homes right now. As Taylor was sharing, the Lord directed me to a text. And it's found in Malachi chapter 3. And I'm not going to go into an offering message, but I want you to see something here so powerful. That even as we were praising, shouting the name of Jesus unashamedly, the Lord reminded me of this text. And it's found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. And I'm going to read it for you. It says this: "They will be my people." That was your cue to shout amen. "They will be my people," says the Almighty One, the Almighty God. "On that day, when I act, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient and delightful child." And verse 18, every hand raised right now, you can put your Bibles down, even in your homes, if you're driving, whatever it may be, stop your car and raise your hands to heaven. Because even now, I prophesy this over your life. I prophesy this over your future. I prophesy this over your family. As you remain obedient, humbly submitted to the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 18, "Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Today, with your hands raised, on that day, you'll never be found missing. On that day of Christ's soon return, you will never be found missing. With your hands raised right now to heaven, hearts humbly surrendered to Christ, you are anointed for such a time. You are empowered for such a time. There will always be a tangible, visible difference between you and the world as you humbly submit your life to Christ. And amidst conflict, amidst trials, you will triumph. Amidst conflict, you will conquer in Christ. Amidst financial ruin, you will prosper in Christ. And when the world says there's a casting down, from your mouth, from your lips, from your life, you shall say there's a lifting up. And if you believe that right now, give Jesus one more big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise God forevermore. You can comfortably take your seats if you can. I tell you now, every single one of you that are in this place, never take the opportunity, the privilege that we have to gather here today for granted. Because understand, in the natural, you may think you're just dancing, you're just shouting, but what you do not see, even when you do not see it, God is working. And even now, He's working in every single one of your lives, defining your future, defining the very reality that is destined for you, the greatness that's been deposited on the inside of you by His Word, by the Spirit of God. For the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. You cannot look like the world when you have Christ in you, who is the hope of glory. See, the world is not looking for another definition of Christianity. The world doesn't need another TED Talks on Christianity. The world needs a demonstration of Christianity. It is crying out for that. It is hungry to see you display who Christ is, the living God, the Most High God. In the short time that we have, I want you to go with me to the book of John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And as you turn there, for those of you that have read this text before, in some of your Bibles, it'll say the death of Lazarus. But it's interesting, the story doesn't end there. That's not how the story ends. Look at somebody and say, that's not how the story ends. Look at someone else and declare this, my case is different. And we pick it up in verses 4. And I want you to know this, that having faith in God now, I've titled this message for tonight, Even Now I Know. Even now I know that God is able. Even now I know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that I can ask, think, or imagine. You see, you may find yourself right now coming into this place as you've praised, but in the back of your mind, you're still thinking of what is outside of this building. What's to come when I leave? I just go back to what was. It's time to take your eyes off what was and start focusing on who you are in Christ and experience who He has created you to be. There's a higher reality, child of God, and that reality is available to you by your obedience and your total submission to His Word. I found it in my life. This past week has probably been the toughest week. The past 2 weeks have been the toughest 2 weeks of my life. First testing positive for COVID-19, a global pandemic. No wicked thing will touch you and your family in Jesus' name. You will not die, says the Lord. And even during that inconvenience, my wife went into hospital and I could not be with her there. Now, in all of this, I settled in my heart that as long as I live, the devil will pay for that inconvenience. I've settled in my heart. Now you could say, but Jay, that's your story. It doesn't have to be the same way for you. You don't have to test positive. You don't have to experience inconveniences. You can experience triumph after triumph, victory after victory in Jesus' name. And as all of this was happening, you know, there's a guy we listen to, Bishop David Oyedepo. We love this man. He says, if the word is not in your heart and it is in your head, when trouble times come, the word flies out if it's in your head. You don't remember scriptures. I was bamboozled when that report came. Ah, positive. My wife is negative. Ah, I thought, what? I'm right next to you, babe. Hey, it's my wife. How is this possible? And at that place, I had to make a decision. Do I take God at His word that I shall live and not die? I believe that I'm a conqueror through Christ who's already given me the strength. See, the question I have for you today is this. Whose report are you going to believe? Because even now I know that God is able to do immeasurably more that you can ask, think, or imagine. And it says this in John 11, verse 4. And it says, but when Jesus heard about it, Lazarus' sickness, he says, will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this. Verse 5. Although Jesus loved Mary and Martha, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days and he did not go to them. I mean, it was a hella urgent situation. Think about it. The guy's dead. Hey, just got a report. Jesus, we know that you can do something, but Jesus is just chilling. He knows the bigger picture. He knows that there's obviously a greater plan. So Jesus chills. Sometimes God will not come on your schedule. God is not a slot machine that we pull, ka-ching, and put in one obedience coin. Ka-ching. Faith is now. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So as you've applied and appropriated your faith, you've applied, you believed God and you've engaged your faith by obeying the word of God. Yes, you may not see a change in the natural, but even when you don't see it, God is working. See, God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end better than you'll ever know the beginning. He knows it. He's already there. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days and did not go with them. Finally, after 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. So let's go to Lazarus. But his disciples objected. Catch this. His disciples, these people that have seen him do they've seen him move. They've seen the supernatural power of God be made manifest through his life. They've seen him do what is seemingly impossible in the natural. They've seen him do it before. That's what it says. Teacher, they said. They said. Some of you have been going by other people's. They said. They said you can't go to church. They said you should wear a mask. They said you should be full of fear. But I'm here to tell you today, as you believe what the Word of God says about you, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. What does the Word say? See, at that point when I got that test result, I had to choose whose report I'm going to believe. Whose report will I believe? They said. See, Jesus is not deterred by what people said. Neither should you be. You need to do what Paul did. He says this in Philippians chapter 3. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. This one thing. What is that one thing you're doing? Is it Instagram? Is it that girlfriend or boyfriend? Hey. What is that one thing you do? Is it your pursuit, your diligent pursuit of the Word of God? I see that being your story today, that as you do that one thing, you pursue the Word of God, your entire level changes, your entire story changes, your entire destiny changes. You become all that God has created you to be. I'm tired of following what they say. Who cares what they say? I'm focused on Christ. Only a few days ago, the Jewish leaders in Judea were trying to kill you. They're not trying to block you on Instagram, block you on Facebook. They were trying to kill Jesus. His disciples were screaming like, hey, Jesus, man, relax. Paula, man, hey, easy. They were trying to kill you. Are you going there again? And Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. As long as it is light, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. Only at night is there danger of stumbling because there is no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go to wake him. You see, it doesn't matter what the enemy has used in the past to stop you and your family. It doesn't matter what has been used to stop your family for the longest time and have been used to stop you. As you put your trust in God, it doesn't matter the crisis. Christ is superior. Christ is greater. For the word declares, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. Think about it. I mean, imagine being the disciples. But they said he's dead. Finished. It's been a few days. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, that means he's going to get better, surely. In other words, they didn't want to go because they knew. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was having a good night's rest, but Jesus actually meant he had died. Then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I was glad I wasn't there. Imagine how savage that is. You're at someone's funeral, I'm glad I was not there. Hey. Like now I was preaching last week, you ever have a funeral every day of your life? The difference is God will never leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. talk about being full of faith, being full of fear. Let's go to and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. 4 days, it means it was real bad. In other words, your circumstance could be how bad. Doesn't matter how bad it is. There's absolutely nothing impossible for Christ. There's absolutely nothing too difficult for God. There's absolutely nothing too hard for him. When Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And this is where we draw the text for today, because I want you to see this. It says this in verse 22. But even now, someone say that, look at someone next to you in your house. Even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Even now, I know. You see, in this hour that we're living in, you need to be careful, because I wrote this down in my notes and I've got a very few moments left with you. You need to be careful that those comforting you are not for causing you to conform. You need to be careful that those comforting you, that those around you, you should be feeling bad. So people messaged me when I got positive. I don't know how they heard. They were comforting me, well-intentioned. It's all going to be okay. And I had a choice. I was like, whoa, man. I even started developing a cough. I had no symptoms. Hey, it's all going to be okay. Be careful that those comforting you are not causing you to conform. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 2, be ye not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what did I do? When I developed that cough, I went straight back to the word. In fact, the word was in me. I am not sick. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No wicked thing will touch you or your family. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Even now I know. Look at someone next to you and say, even now I know. Glory to God. I'm going to jump down to verse 38 because I see I've got 4 minutes left. Glory, where's this time running to? Again, Jesus was deeply troubled. John 11:38. Then they came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Verse 39. Roll the stone away, Jesus told them. But Martha, hey, you know those guys around you, they're trying to comfort you, man. Hey. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus responded, catch this. Jesus wasn't reacting in fear like how Mary and Martha were doing. He was responding by faith because he knew what God had told him. He knew this one thing I do is follow the will of God. Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone away. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of those standing here, so they believe that you had sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. You see, whatever it is that the enemy brought in here with you today, as you've come into this place, as you've heard the word of God, you've been set free. Right now, I want you to stand up on your feet and begin to shake yourself off. Take off those grave clothes. Take off what you came in here with before. Take off what the enemy tried to put on you. Take it off. Take off that poverty. Take off whatever it is. Take off that anxiety. Take off that depression. By the Spirit of God, it's all coming off of you today. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Glory. As you're standing, I want to give you these three red flags in the next few moments that I have. Three red flags. Someone say red flags. These are hella red flags. You have to recognize them. It's not relationship red flags. That's what the Bible says. These three red flags. The first one is this: complacency. Complacency. Recognize if you're complacent, you're in trouble. If you're just happy with where you're at. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, maybe they'll be filled. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Never get complacent. The second red flag is this: carelessness. You're just haphazardly walking through life. Oh, I stumbled. I stumbled in love. Do not be careless. If you are casual Christians become casualties, be very careful. The third red flag is this: you're conformed to culture. Be very careful of culture. They will always say, but you need to know what God is saying. Let's grab the elements in your homes. We've got a minute left. Glory to God. Now you feel now. 59 seconds. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you've never failed and you won't start now. We thank you for your body, your blood. And even as we take it today, we do this in remembrance of you, that the ultimate price was paid, that you disarmed every power of Satan. We do so today. You may partake of both elements. Raise your hands to heaven in this place, in your homes as well. We bless every person that's watching and even in this place now, Lord. We thank you that it's always been about you. And we love you. We thank you for watching today, for being a part of this broadcast. We bless every single one of you. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place.